Over the last two or three Sundays, we've been refreshing our understanding of our congregational purpose and our congregational values. Our purpose is that we seek to invite, encourage, and enable people of all ages to follow Jesus Christ. And we looked at one of our values so far, the value of meet, that we wish people to meet with God in a personal and life-changing way. Because as we've seen in John's Gospel so far in chapter 15, in those initial four verses, we saw that from this life-giving relationship, this spiritual connection with Jesus, we have been called into his purposes. We've been given a call and purpose at the command of Jesus. And so we need to remember this and give ourselves to it. And last week, Monica reminded us to run this race, to pursue the purpose of Jesus with all that we've got, so that we can do so and bring glory to him by keeping our eyes focused on Jesus. Today we're going to cover two more of our values, both of which show us to be followers of Jesus, and both of which can bring public glory to God. But first, let us pray. Let's pray together. Come, Holy Spirit, and soften our hearts to the word of God. Come, Holy Spirit, to change these hearts of ours and to renew our minds as well. Come, Holy Spirit, with power and deep conviction, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So in our passage today, we read these words of Jesus. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And so from the spiritual connection we have, because we follow Jesus, we've placed our trust in Jesus, we are to be fruitful. We are to bear much fruit. Now we might wonder, well, what is that fruit? And if you look at the range of examples in Scripture, they sort of come together in three categories. Galatians 5, for example, talks about the fruit of the Spirit, which is about our character. So things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. But we can look at other scriptures that talk about our conduct. So Isaiah 6, we talk about the fruit of God's people, but in terms of justice. And so it's been seen in our conduct as well, that out of the character, we might have a conduct that is fruitful and godly. But then we could turn to Colossians 1, talking about the fruit of the gospel, but not in terms of our character or conduct, but in people coming to follow Jesus. And again, to utilize the C word, converts, or C letter, converts, of people choosing to follow Jesus. And that's the fruit of the gospel. So whether it be in a character, conduct, or converts, we are to be fruitful people. And that's why, as a congregation, one of our values is the value of grow, maturing in faith and character as God's people. We also have the value of share, which we'll come to next week, to capture that idea of sharing God's love with others, that we might see them come to know him. So we're to be fruitful by maturing in faith and character, our conduct, our character of Jesus. And our passage today gives us two ways that we can grow in fruitfulness, talking about remaining and pruning. Now, before we get into the application of those and what that means, to our ears, I think, or certainly to my ear, when I was initially reading it and thinking about it, it sounded quite a static, passive term, to remain, to prune, like this is something done to you. And so you're imagining almost a position like a plant in a pot, and you just are to stand there. Or a branch on the vine, and you're just to hang there, and something happens to you to bring about this fruitfulness, this maturing. And yet, when you look at the breadth of teaching around remaining, pruning, growing, it's not so much about a position, but rather a posture. Because a posture includes some intentionality, that rather than being just hanging about here, that we might adopt a posture. A posture because we've got a place within this growing process. We have to recognize that the growing is because of God. When was the last time you just tried to will up some more peace? Oh, if I'm just a bit more peaceful, you can't do it. And none of the fruit you can just force to happen. It is something God brings about. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. When was the last time you tried to strong-arm someone into following Jesus? It doesn't work, because God has to be at work in their heart to help them take that step of faith. So this fruit, we can't force it to happen, but we can adopt a posture that is more intentional. And I think it comes across in our passage today. And so we're going to talk about posture for growth as regards remaining and pruning. Jesus first said, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Remain in me. Well, what does it mean to remain in Jesus? He goes on to give a practical outworking of that remaining. But at its heart, when you look at the other scriptures, particularly when you look at John's first letter to the church, at chapter 2 and verse 24, remaining is made equal with trusting, with continuing to trust Jesus. And so remain is to trust. It's a posture of dependence. It's a posture of openness, of maintaining that connection. It is like the plant, the sunflower, that turns its head to the sun. And likewise, we are to turn our hearts constantly to Jesus, to receive from him, to keep that posture of trust so that we might grow. And that's why then in our passage at verse 7, Jesus speaks about having his words remain in us, i.e. that we're in his teaching, we're in the word of God, and that we would ask for things, ask whatever you wish, that we would be in prayer. Because those are two outward signs that we are trusting in Jesus, that we're in the word and we're in prayer. And when either of those begin to slide, and when they're not present in our lives, most likely our trust in Jesus is on a downward trajectory. And so all of us need to be thinking, well, how do I build this into my life? That I might have a posture of growth. Because as you come into the Word, and as you come before God in prayer, then you're positioning yourself like the head of that sunflower to receive from God, that he might then help you grow in faith, grow in character as his child. So what does that look like for you? Where do you need to build this in? We can help with those. We've got lots of ideas and resources. If you're not sure, then come and speak to me. Speak to our discipleship team. Get along to our times of prayer. Because sometimes we don't know how to pray or where to start praying. But being around people who are praying can sometimes help us learn how to pray. Because more often than not, the folk that come and pray here on a Sunday morning, they do an excellent job every time. But they've spent some time thinking about those prayers, writing it down. And that can be quite intimidating, I think, saying, well, is that the benchmark that I have to be able to pray for 6 minutes and it has to flow and it has to make sense? Well, come to the other times of prayer and you'll quickly realize that that is not how we always have to pray. That we stumble over our words and we get kind of tongue-tied and not quite sure exactly where we're going, but that's okay. So come on a 10:15, come online on a Thursday night and learn to pray with others. Or reach out if you need help with God's word. Adopt a posture of growth. But then Jesus talks also about pruning. He says, "My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." Our Father is going to prune us. How does he do that? He does it by the Spirit's work in our life. The Spirit coming alongside us, that helper, that advocate. He helps us by the Spirit. And it can be removing bad things, removing us from sinful choices, sinful paths. We all know that there are things in our lives that we need to turn from, or we need to grow in greater maturity to Jesus. But it can also be, well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. The fruitful things, you know, sometimes God cuts back on the fruitful things. He cuts back on the good stuff. And so maybe you're doing 20 jobs for the church, but the Father is saying, you know, one or a handful might be enough. You don't need to do that 20 jobs. And actually that would be him pruning back what seems good, but actually by doing less, you can be even more fruitful. I'm talking about my dad, who's here today, so I'm embarrassing him slightly, and learning about growing stuff. I remember we would grow plants from just little plugs and we would grow them up. And some of the plants, particularly those that had multiple flowers, as the stalk grew, there would be little offshoots. And I remember him teaching me that we had to pick off those offshoots so that it didn't become too heavy and that it grew strong and that at the right time it bore a flower at the proper place, not all the way down the stalk. And likewise, the Father sometimes does that with us. We think, oh, we'll do this, we'll do that, and we just try and fruit all over the place and do lots of different things, but actually we need to prune it back. And so it's not just about pruning the bad stuff, it can be also pruning the good stuff. And you know, our Kirk session had to do that recently. We, as a church, had built up a list of over 20 charities that we were trying to support and be involved in. But it was meaning that we weren't involved with them really in a meaningful way. It was like, oh, we'll do a retiring collection for this, these people or those people. And that was it. It was nice, but it was kind of tokenistic in some ways. And so the Kirk session decided to cut that back to 16, which still sounds like an awful lot, but 16 that we'll be involved in more meaningfully. And you'll hear about those 16 over the coming year, I'm sure. And so whether it's at a corporate level or an individual level, if we want to be fruitful, if we want to grow as our value states we are about that as a church, then we have to posture ourselves. There has to be a degree of intentionality. You can't make it happen, but you can posture yourself in trust and openness to God. And so what does that look like for you? Where are you needing to posture yourself more intentionally? Either in the Word and in prayer, or in being open to what the Father is saying to you. Maybe he's saying, you need to cut back on all the good that you're doing out in the community so that actually you can give some love in the church family. You know, it's great, all the stuff that you're doing X, Y, and Z, and all these hobbies that you've got, but actually you need to spend some time with me. Maybe God is saying that as well. And maybe these are the ways that he's pruning back so that you have space for a posture of growth. Our passage has a second posture for us to take on board today, the posture of love. Jesus said, now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Across these verses, Jesus is building towards that final line, verse 13, to lay down one's life for one's friends. That part of remaining in his love is to obey his commands. His primary command at this stage is to love one another. And the mark of loving one another is to lay down your life. He's building towards that across these verses. And again, lay down, it's intentional. This isn't about, you know, if you feel like it, if you've got enough love, if you like that person enough, then lay down your life. No, this is, you're called to active participation. You're called to intentionality. It's an act of the will we're called to, not if you feel like it. And so we have to have a posture of love and intentionality. And this is not the first time Jesus, in this episode with the disciples in the upper room, the night before he was crucified, talked about love. Earlier on in the gospel, he said this, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And at first we can trip over that because we think, well, how is this new Jesus? After all, God had taught his people in Leviticus that they were to love their neighbor as they loved themselves. And Jesus said that was the second greatest commandment, that the first was love God, the second was love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so how is this new? Well, it's new in the sense of the degree of love or the benchmark of love. Before, it's love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, our love can be kind of fickle, warped, not the best. Some of us struggle to love ourselves. And Jesus is saying the benchmark now is not as you love yourself, but as I have loved you. That's the benchmark. That's the benchmark of our love within the church family. And with those of our neighbours, of course, to love as Jesus has loved us. And by that, we'll be known as his followers. And so this is why, as a church family, one of our other values is to be a family. We're saying we're a family of all sorts of people journeying in community towards wholeness. And as a family, a perfect family is to love. We are called to love and to grow in that love and to show that love and develop that love and be there for one another, including being there for one another, to grow towards wholeness. Or we might say towards maturity, to have the maturity of Christ seen in us. Again, Jesus gives us two ways to work out this posture of love. He said, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And if we want to love one another well, we also need to love God and receive his love. Because how many of us find it really hard to love our neighbour? Don't know about you, but I have that feeling sometimes. And it can be at home. I am not the perfect husband or dad, despite my t-shirt. And there are times when I probably really irk you as your minister. And you probably really irk me. Let's be honest. There are those times. But what helps us to keep loving? Because there are times when my own resources are not enough. Well, it's when we turn that upward relationship first. Because from the upward, that's why it's the first command. Love the Lord your God. Be in relationship with God. Respond to him as he has loved you. And he will fill you with his love so that you can keep loving on the outward, on the horizontal level. And we show our love for God by obeying his commands. And if we do so, then we will also receive his joy. And so obedience is not about it being dutiful or just drudgery, but about there being a joy we experience as we follow his commands. The joy of contentment, of knowing we're on the right path, the joy of fruitfulness, the joy of knowing we're doing good, the joy of knowing that we're pleasing our God, that we're responding to his love. Because it's not about earning his love. Jesus is not saying this. We're not earning his love. He's loved us as sinners. He's loved us as people who've told him to take a hike. He loves us unconditionally. But now it's our opportunity to respond to his love with love as we obey him. And if we obey him, then the joy will come. And from that joy and from that reception of love to his love, we then have love to share. Because as Jesus goes on, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. We have to love as Jesus has loved us, laying down our life. So that's loving when helping is not convenient. It's loving when the giving starts to hurt. It's loving when we devote energy to the welfare of another person rather than just to ourselves or to those we find it easy or natural to give our love and attention. It's loving when we go without for the good of someone else. And so where do we need to adopt that posture of love as a family? Where do we need to mature in this kind of love? Where do we need to be more intentional? Well, I have some ideas, as you'd expect. But before I get to those ideas, let me just say, 4.5 years in, I have seen so much love in this church family and received so much love in this church family. The serving, the supporting, the giving that goes on behind the scenes is phenomenal. So hear what I'm going to say in that context, that there is so much love around here in Brighton. But there are ways that we might mature, grow. And I've covered a range of points just because we're in lots of different places in our own faith journey. And I've given us four just to mull over. So the first is, serve regularly. You know, so we have some people who are doing too many jobs and they're too busy within the church, but they're having to do that to some degree because not all of us are involved in serving within the church. And we need to find our place, find our role within the life of the church family. And I would say that has to be a regular involvement in some way. Might be on a team, but it might also be talking to one another, having some people that you support around you, alongside being part of a rota or such like. It's good that we have rotas in so many areas of ministry in the church, because if you're on it every single week, it becomes a burden, it becomes monotonous, and you just lose your passion and your joy in it. We do need rotas. But if you're only doing something every 6 to 8 weeks, I have to wonder, is that sacrificial? You weigh that up with God. But I do wonder that. So serve regularly. And if you need some ideas, if you want to offer your time and involvement, then come speak to me, speak to one of our conveners. We've got jobs that need doing. However, there are times, whether due to age, whether due to ill health physically or mental ill health or limited capacity in some regard, that we can't serve regularly. And if that's you, then don't hear that previous point as a word against you. However, for many of us in that category where we can't serve regularly, we can probably still pray. And in some ways, that's a harder sacrifice because we don't find it natural. We find it's easy to be busy with doing than busy praying. But as we say in the Sunday morning prayer times, if the Lord does not build a house, we labor in vain. And so we need to be a prayerful people. We need you to be praying. And so you could be obviously praying at home. You could be taking the news sheet and saying, right, what's in the news sheet? What can I pray for this week? What's coming up in the diary this week? And pray for that. And that would be such a blessing for our church family. That would be a sacrifice of love. But equally, it might be time to come along to the prayer meeting on a Sunday morning. Get up that bit earlier. I have to get up at 6 o'clock every Sunday morning and to get ready for this. And my family basically operates as a single parent family because I've got to be here. That's the sacrifice we're making for this church family because we love you. We genuinely love you. And I'm not saying that as a grumble or as a moan, genuinely, but that's just our reality. How are you sacrificing for the family? If you can't serve, most likely you can pray. So pray. Third point, the gender discussions. Guys, if you put this off, can you really say you're loving the women of this church, of our society, of our community well enough? I'm not sure. You can challenge me on that if you want. You might know this in and out, fair enough. But most of us never thought about this at school. And we hear about stuff in the news and we just write it off as modern rubbish or some other word that we might choose to use. It's not. It's important for us all across the age spectrum. And it doesn't matter if you've got kids or grandkids or whatever stage of life you are at, these gender discussions are important. I can't stress that enough. So guys, please sign up. Well, that was a quick point three. Point four, join in worship again. Obviously, you're here, but there are people at home that are not. You might be watching just now on a live stream. You might know people that you see in from time to time, and they're not even watching online. They've just chosen to kind of step back, opt out. And in part, I want to equip you for those conversations that you might have with them, since I may well not see them. Because some of us are opting out of worship, or opting out of being present for worship. And again, there might be circumstances that justify that. Ill health, being housebound, these kind of dynamics are fully justified. And I'm not saying anything in those situations. However, if we are opting out because we don't like the style of the service, then join the club. I don't like the style of the service. It's not how I would have the service. I can name you five or six things at a drop of a hat that I would change if I was wanting the service my style. So don't think this is Scott's style of service. It's really not. We're doing blended worship because we're a family of all sorts of people, and we want all people of all ages to follow Jesus. And so we're not going to prioritize a particular style or make sure that we tick all your boxes. Because I'm pretty sure you sitting in the pew right now are like, well, it doesn't tick all my boxes. As I say, we're all in the same boat. And so if we prioritize our style, if we say, well, it doesn't suit my style anymore, then we are prioritizing our style above the command to love. And here's why. We are called into a family. And as part of that church family, we are given gifts. What does Paul say they are for? The common good. And so if you're not here, if you are choosing to opt out, the gifts you have been given are not being used for the common good. And the love that's been poured into your heart is not just for you to have. God's love is there for you to share it with others, to draw alongside others, to encourage and support others. We shouldn't just come to church for ourselves. But in our Western society, we often make it about ourselves. And so if we are opting out because of style, we are not loving as Jesus loved us. So have those conversations, even if they're challenging with people. And if you're watching from home, feel free to come and have a chat sometime. But we might also be opting out because of changes that have happened, or because of something I've said, and it might be even from this morning. And we say, well, I'm opting out because I don't like that change. Or what was said was hurtful, or some other kind of perspective on it. And again, I would just remind us, what is the benchmark of our love? Jesus. And as Paul will say, I think it's to the Colossians, forgive as you have been forgiven. As he said in our reading from Philippians, pursue unity, have the mind of Christ, keep united to one another is such a crucial outworking of our love. Because not every change will suit us, and not every change has suited me. There are changes coming that definitely don't suit me, but we're called to love, not to opt out. And I don't think any of the changes or anything that has been said has been done with ill intent, nor do I think any of the changes or what has been said have been unbiblical. And so again, to withdraw, to opt out, because we disagree with what has been said, or we disagree with the changes, I'm just not sure it displays that love of Jesus that is worked out in unity and in forgiveness and in grace to one another. And so we are called to adopt that posture of love. What does it look like then for you? Taking this away, how do you become more intentional in a posture of growth and a posture of love? We each have to apply that in our own lives. And over the summer, you might want to take some time to reflect on that. But you might not need to wait to the summer. You don't need to wait 2 more weeks before you get into God's Word. That can begin today, tomorrow. In prayer, you don't need to wait 2 weeks to get into prayer. That can begin today, tomorrow, this week at the prayer meeting. Get along. And that posture of love, well, that might take a bit more time to work out. You might need to have a conversation. You might need to discern, well, how do I get involved in the church family? Well, take the time over the summer and make that plan how you can posture yourself for growth and display the love of Jesus. Because if we will give ourselves to this, then we will be more fruitful to the glory of God. We will share much more the joy of Jesus. And we will see his purpose fulfilled in greater measure in our day and in our lives. I pray it may be so. Amen.